Good morning, Arizona homeowners. You're tuned in to the Arizona Saturday morning tradition, Rosie on the House. We show up every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. We're here till 11. The first hour of the program, we always spend out in the garden, and we're here to do one thing: answer your questions about landscape and gardening. It's our goal to become your best friend. Give us a ring. It's a toll-free number, 1-888-767-4348. My wife Jennifer will grab the ringing phone, get your name, your question, where in Arizona you're calling from, and we'll get you on air with our expert, Mr. Harper from Harper's Nurseries, and get you on your way for the rest of the weekend. A lot of things going on this weekend. The whole state's packed with activities. If you're in the Phoenix metro area, we do have the Maricopa County Home and Garden Show going on today at the Arizona State Fairgrounds. That's today and tomorrow as well. And we've got the
Barrett Jackson.
We've got Barrett Jackson. We've got the run.
P.F. Chang's Marathon.
Yeah. So a lot going on.
If you're not participating in those, then I would suggest not going anywhere.
It is a great day to pick a project in the yard
and get something done. And in the garden this morning and landscape, we have Jerry Harper, one of the Harper's brothers. Welcome to the program, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. It's always a pleasure to be down here with these celebrity hosts of the KTR morning show here. And you know, just good to be with you guys.
Fruit trees. Let's start talking about fruit trees. I understand the shipments are pretty much in at every nursery now.
It's the time. This is the time to plant a lot of your deciduous trees, fruit trees being in that category. And if you're ever interested in thinking about planting something that you don't think of normally in Arizona, such as an apple or a peach or an apricot or something like that, there's plenty of good varieties that do very well here. And it's just the time of the year to go to a nursery and just kind of read labels and see what the different ones have to offer for you, and make sure you got the right space to put it in. But it's just a great, great little thing to have. You know, having a beautiful tree that blooms, that has a pretty bloom on it, but it's also got a function too. You know, a nice functional tree that you can actually produce something from.
That has been my favorite part of our orchard, mainly because it's so young. We're not getting any fruit yet, but the colors that it brings, especially the peach, the peach blossom in March and April is just amazing. When you're shopping and you look at these tags, they all have hours on them, mm-hmm. these chill hours. I'm sure most people understand what that is, but talk to me about that.
It's the most important thing. And the problem we have with so many big box stores that bring in plant material from wherever and aren't really thinking about proper regions is that you got to be really careful. We've kind of created the situation where a lot of people think they can't grow something here because they've gone to the wrong place or bought the wrong thing, and they say, "Oh, you can't grow an apple here. You can't grow a nectarine here." And the reason that is because they went to a store and bought one that wasn't supposed to be even in that store. It's the wrong chill hour. So that number on there is chill hours. And chill hours are the number of hours below 40 degrees that plant needs to stimulate blooming and fruiting. So obviously in southern Arizona, those chill hours are fairly low. You want to pick a fruit tree that has anywhere between 100 and maybe 400 chill hours at the very top end. If you pick something that has higher chill hours than that, you're going to have a nice tree maybe, but you're not going to have any fruit because it's not going to have enough of those hours below 40 degrees in order for that plant to do what it's supposed to do.
Where could I go and look up chill hours? Because you said you know, southern Arizona, nothing over 400. But, I mean, when you get up to the rim, Prescott, Flag, I would imagine chill hours up there, at just almost every bit is what, you know, something in the North Midwest is getting.
Yeah, and I have no idea what those numbers are for those regions. And, you know, I'm a Southern Arizona boy and lived here all my life and haven't really cared about it the way anybody else gardens. But I'm sure, I mean, heck, we've got the internet. You know, you can just Google whatever you want. The other thought would be, and this is what I really ask people to do, is go talk to an expert. I mean, if you're in an area such as Prescott or Flagstaff or even Tucson, because Tucson's going to be different than Phoenix. You know, contact your local nursery. Find out, ask them what am I looking for here, and chill hours and in specific varieties that you might want to plant. You know, they're the experts. They want you to be successful, and so, you know, go to your nursery and ask. That's why I think you're better off with a local garden center than you are, you know, some big store that may or may not really even know what they're doing. So go to the experts, just like we're hoping people do here this morning.
In addition to apples, what are some other fruit trees that do good here?
Okay, so apricots do extremely well here. Peaches do very well here. There is a few varieties of nectarines that do well here. Plums do extremely well here. It's kind of neat. The store that we just closed in Mesa had a plum tree right out in front, and so people would be able to pick a plum off as they're just coming into the store. But plums do very well here. And then, of course, you've got, you know, different nut varieties and pomegranates, and I mean, there's a lot of different deciduous, quote unquote, fruit trees that, you know, that people will plant here. You know, of course, we have citrus.
So I've got my spot picked out where I'm going to plant it. I've got my tree picked out. I've got it in from the nursery. What are the steps to properly put that in the ground?
Well, the first thing is you want to, and this is the landscaper talking, you want to make sure that you've got enough space for that tree. And that's another thing you're going to want to read on that label or ask that professional when you go to purchase that tree, because there are trees that are, you know, dwarf, semi-dwarf, and ones that aren't. And, you know, some fruit trees get pretty good size, and some of them, you know, are smaller. So you probably want to go and look at your yard before you even go to the nursery and say, hey, this is kind of the area that I think I can, you know, get away with planting something. How big is that space? You know, how far off the back wall do I want it to be, and how much room can I let it grow in each direction? And so that's the very first thing you want to do, is just decide how much space you're willing to devote to that tree. Once you have that figured out and you go to the nursery and you've picked out the tree and you think it's going to work for you, then, you know, it's pretty much just like planting any other tree. You want to make sure that you probably devote more attention to the hole and the soil that you're going to amend from that hole than you do with the tree itself. It's, you know, we've always used that dig a $10 hole for a $5 plant and you're going to have a better investment, you know. So that means a nice wide hole that's, you know, a good two times the size of the root ball in width and no deeper than the root ball. And then that soil that comes out of it really needs to be amended well. You want to use a good high-quality mulch. You want to use some type of organic fertilizer with it, a bone meal, a blood meal, or at least a starter type fertilizer with it, and then make sure that you mix those well and backfill around the plant.
1-888-767-4348. That's 1-888-ROSIE for you. If you'd like to join the conversation, anything about your landscape and yard, starting in Surprise with Kimberly. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, thanks. I'm helping my mom get her house ready to put on the market. And there's a portion of the yard that used to have grass that's now just dirt. I mean, it's not dormant. There's just nothing there. And we'd like to put in some grass for showing the house. Okay. And I'm curious if it's just way too late for me to even think about a winter rye. I know it takes a little while to establish, but we're probably still 6 to 8 weeks out before we'd be ready to lift it.
Right. So you're not talking about sodding. You're talking about wanting to seed kind of a temporary lawn? Because if you do rye seed, then that's going to be kind of a cosmetic temporary lawn, because then it's going to die in the spring and there really isn't going to be a lawn there when it gets to be 90 or 100 degrees outside.
We're hoping to have have it sold by then.
Okay.
Or if there's some sort of sod that would, because I know having done Bermuda in my own yard, it's not going to grow now. So okay. If there's some other, even if it were a more permanent, but something else that might get green in, say, March instead of June.
Well, if you were to sod this time of the year, you would be buying dormant Bermuda grass with the rice seed in it and already overseeded, and it would be green. That's kind of where I'm going with this. And then at least it would be a permanent lawn once it gets hot and that ryegrass dies, then you have that Bermuda grass lawn already planted. To answer your question, if you're just trying to look for something kind of cosmetic and cheap to get the house sold, then you can plant ryegrass. It's going to take a little bit longer to get established, but you know we're starting to get back up into those spring, those fall-like conditions right now into spring, which are basically the same highs and low temperatures. So, if you can find ryegrass seed, you could probably get ryegrass to germinate and have a temporary lawn. It's just going to be temporary, though. It's not going to be a permanent lawn. But if you'd sodded it, you would have an instant ryegrass lawn with the permanent lawn underneath it.
We appreciate the call, and good luck selling your mother's house. I'm not a huge fan of dumping a lot of money into a home just before the sell.
Right.
It's almost a no-win on recovering that cost. I mean, if it's in a good location and in a good neighborhood, a little bit of dead grass here, you could go into any home and nitpick it to death. $30 here, $100 here, $500 there. I mean, there's no home you couldn't go into and spend all these little cosmetic dollars. So don't, I would just caution anyone trying to dump money into a home just before they sell it.
Well, and if the house doesn't have an irrigation system, and there's a lot more that goes into planting a grass lawn and edging around it. If the area is kind of just nothing right now, you might be just as well off to, you know, get a few tons of granite and put down a fresh coating of granite.
Just make it a clean nothing.
1-888-767-4348.